The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
The year 2000 brought with it excitement about end time events and Bible prophecy. Will we see Armageddon soon? Or will we enjoy utopia? Bible prophecy claims to have the answers to the future. But can we depend on the prophecies of the Bible? Do we have any proof? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames identifies fulfilled prophecy. Now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. We all want to know about the future. What's going to happen in the year 2000 or the year 2001 and beyond? Can you really know? Over the past centuries, people have been curious and even desperate to know what's going to happen. Some trust in astrologers to predict their personal future. Others seek out the predictions of the past from seers such as Nostradamus. Even preachers have set specific dates for the return of Christ or a hoped-for rapture, and all those dates failed. Others take a more philosophical, fatalistic view of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. As our regular viewers know, we examine the Bible for the answers to the great mysteries and questions of life. But can we really rely on the predictions of the Bible? Between 25 to 30% of the Bible is prophecy, a neglected portion of the Bible at that. On today's program, we'll examine various prophecies and predictions of the Bible. I think you'll be surprised to find out the degree to which we can rely on their genuineness, their veracity, and their predictability. First of all, let's take a look at the claims of the Bible itself. If you have a Bible with you, turn to the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah quotes the great Creator God making this astounding pronouncement. Isaiah, the 46th chapter, and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The Creator God, the God of the Bible, declares that He controls the course of history. He declares the end from the beginning. And He states that His counsel, His power, will determine the final outcome, or as Isaiah wrote, from ancient times things that are not yet done. That's why we can have confidence in the ultimate future, the future we call tomorrow's world. That's the time when Christ will rule all nations and give the world guaranteed international peace and prosperity. God sent prophets from ancient times. The prophets gave God's warning and instruction to the nations, particularly ancient Israel. Let's review some of the prophecies of the past. Were they fulfilled as God predicted they would be? The greatest empire of its time was Babylon. Yet Bible prophecy predicted this great power would punish other nations as a judgment from God. And then Babylon itself was to be judged for its sinfulness. Over 100 years before the overthrow of this great empire, the prophet Isaiah named the individual who would be responsible for Babylon's fall. Isaiah began his ministry about 740 BC. He describes a vision of seeing the Lord in Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Here we learn of an important historical point, Isaiah 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Uzziah was king of Judah from about 792 to 740 B.C. So the setting here in the chapter 6, is the year of King Uzziah's death, around the year 740 B.C. Isaiah is describing his mission and his calling in this year. You can read the rest of the chapter. Isaiah prophesied for about 60 years until 680 B.C. Now, this is important to establish that the time of Isaiah's prophecy was long before the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire, and long before the prophesied conqueror, King Cyrus of Persia, was even born. Critics allege that the book of Isaiah had multiple authors. However, conservative scholars point to the unity and structure and language of the book. For example, as the NIV Bible Study or Study Bible points out, quote, there are at least 25 words or forms found in Isaiah, that is, in both major divisions of the book, that occur in no other prophetic writing, end of quote. And the book of Isaiah is genuine and inspired according to Jesus and the New Testament writers. They quoted the author numerous times as being the prophet Isaiah. Let's read one of Isaiah's amazing prophecies, Isaiah 44 and verse 28. The kingdom of Israel had gone into captivity in 718 B.C. by King Shalmaneser of Assyria. Isaiah had prophesied that Israel's sister, the kingdom of Judah, would also go into captivity because of her sins. You can read about that in chapter 39 of Isaiah. Now Isaiah is talking about the eventual return of Judah from captivity even before they've gone into captivity. And who would be responsible for the return of the Jews from the Babylonian captivity? The prophecy in the preceding verses predicts the restoration of Judah and Jerusalem. Let's read it here in Isaiah 44 and verse 28. God says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Cyrus was king over the Persians from about 558 B.C. to 529 B.C. So Isaiah is prophesying in the 8th century B.C. about a king who wasn't even born until the 6th century B.C. Did Cyrus actually open the door for the captive Jews to return to their homeland as Isaiah prophesied? The Bible records that he did. Ezra 1 and verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made it a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. Here in Ezra 1:1, the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, is referring to his first year as king of Babylon in 538 B.C. So what Isaiah had prophesied nearly two centuries earlier had come to pass. But that's not all. Not only did Isaiah predict a man named Cyrus would help deliver the Jews from their future Babylonian captivity, but Isaiah also predicted just how Cyrus would enter Babylon to conquer it. This is an amazing story. Turn to Isaiah 45 and verse 1. We saw in the previous verse the role of Cyrus in permitting the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Now God proclaims that he will use Cyrus to enter Babylon in a special way. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, or two-leaved gates, as it is in the King James Version, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Eternal, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. The reference to the double doors indicated how God opened the way for Cyrus' army to capture the city. The city of Babylon appeared impregnable with its massive walls and defenses, and the city had supplies that could outlast a 20-year siege. So the Babylonians just laughed at Cyrus's army when they came to attack the city. The river Euphrates passed through the middle of Babylon under the massive gates in the wall. Cyrus used an ingenious method to circumvent this obstacle. Some of his men dug channels upstream to divert the flow of the river. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote the following account. Cyrus and his non-combatant troops, quote, so greatly reduced the depth of water in the actual bed of the river that it became fordable, and the Persian army, which had been left at Babylon for that purpose, entered the river, now only deep enough to reach about the middle of a man's thigh, and making their way along it, got into town. If the Babylonians had learnt what Cyrus was doing, or had seen it for themselves in time, they could have let the Persians enter, and then by shutting all the gates which led to the waterside and manning the walls on either side of the river, they could have caught them in a trap and wiped them out. But as it was, they were taken by surprise. The Babylonians themselves say that owing to the great size of the city, the outskirts were captured without the people in the center knowing anything about it. There was a festival going on, and they continued to dance and enjoy themselves until they learned the news the hard way. That then is the story of the first capture of Babylon. According to Herodotus, a secular source, the overthrow of Babylon occurred just as the prophet Isaiah had described. Other secular sources, such as Xenophon's Cyropedia, also support this account. God called the conqueror of Babylon by name over a century before he was born. History confirms the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The prophet Daniel was in the city of Babylon the night the Persian army of Cyrus conquered the city. And through the prophet Daniel, God also let know King Belshazzar what was going to happen to him and the empire. That's the famous story of the handwriting on the wall. You can read about that in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. King Belshazzar prepared a feast, a great party for thousands of his nobles. They drank wine out of the plundered golden vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. Daniel 5 and verse 5. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The prophet Daniel was called upon to interpret this saying. A mysterious hand had written a message on the wall. Daniel 5, verse 25. And this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Daniel then told King Belshazzar, verse 26, this is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then verse 30, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Yes, the kingdom of the Medes and Persians now replaced the kingdom of Babylon, just as God had predicted over 100 years earlier. There are other amazing prophecies that have been fulfilled. We'll examine more of those prophecies in the second part of our program. But at this time, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy is evidence, not only of the inspiration of the Bible, but the power of Almighty God to bring about His own predictions and to affect the rise and fall of nations and empires. You need to be informed. With this audio tape, you'll have opportunity for personal Bible study on your own time, and you'll be able to review the scriptural references and the information we've covered on this program. There's no cost or obligation, so pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape entitled Fulfilled Prophecy. The truth is powerfully informative and inspiring. Just write or phone for your free copy of Fulfilled Prophecy.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In In the first part of our program, we saw that the Creator God claims that He intervenes in world events, and nothing, no one, can prevent His judgments and punishments on the nations. We also examined one amazing example of God's specific prophecy almost two centuries in advance of a future king who would conquer Babylon and also open the door for the captive Jews to return to Jerusalem. And there are other examples of fulfilled prophecy. Of course, there are hundreds of examples. But let's take another look at a major prophecy that affected world-ruling empires over a period of more than 1,000 years. And it will continue to affect the configuration of world powers in the years just ahead of us. The great image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream is dramatically described in the second chapter of Daniel. God had sent His prophets to warn the kingdom of Israel to repent. They refused to reform. So the kingdom of Assyria conquered the northern kingdom, the 10-tribe house of Israel, and moved the captives far to the east in Assyria. The final captivity took place in 718 B.C. Then God also sent prophets to warn the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah also persisted in its sins. So God used the kingdom of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar to punish the house of Judah. The majority of Jews were deported to Babylon over a period of 2 decades, ending with the destruction of Jerusalem in about 586 B.C. The young man Daniel and his 3 friends were taken captive. They were trained in the culture and literature of Babylon. These young men persisted in godly values. They had been taught by God, and God used Daniel to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's turn to Daniel 2 and verse 1. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." These advisers asked the king to tell them the dream. They, of course, would interpret it. But the king had his enemies, and he threatened them with death if they didn't tell him the content of the dream. Daniel asked his friends to pray that God would reveal the dream. And during the night, God revealed the dream to Daniel. And Daniel gave God the credit. Notice this in Daniel 2, in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers, cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Then Daniel proceeded to describe this great image in the king's dream. Daniel not only told the king what his dream was, but also gave the interpretation. Daniel 2 and verse 31. "You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." The prophet Daniel told the king the dream's meaning. Daniel 2 and verse 36. "This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, He has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold." Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that God had made him a king of kings. Daniel told him, "You are this head of gold." Here, God was revealing the power and authority that He, the creator of the universe, was giving to Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Notice that the image also symbolized great empires to come. What were those empires that Bible prophecy predicted? Let's read their description in Daniel 2 and verse 39. "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, That kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Was this prophecy fulfilled? Read most any reputable Bible commentary, and you will see that scholars and historians agree on the identity of these empires. Critics who want to discredit the inspiration of the Bible allege that the prophecy was not written until the 2nd century B.C., after the fulfillment of some of the prophecy. There are several problems facing the critics. One, the prophecy concerning the fourth kingdom was not fulfilled until after the 2nd century B.C., specifically the establishment of the Roman Empire, symbolized by the legs of iron. That didn't arise until after 63 B.C., when Rome took control of the Holy Land. Two, the language of the book of Daniel argues for dates earlier than the 2nd century B.C. Listen to this comment from the NIV Study Bible. Quote, linguistic evidence from the Dead Sea Scrolls demonstrates that the Hebrew and Aramaic chapters of Daniel must have been composed centuries earlier, end of quote. That is, centuries earlier than the 2nd century B.C. Thirdly, other prophecies in the book of Daniel were not fulfilled until centuries later. For example, the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, the 9th chapter, predicted accurately the arrival of the Messiah in the 1st century A.D. We'll have to discuss that prophecy in a future program. The prophecies of Daniel are genuine, and the predictions of these four empires did come to pass. Who were these empires? Again, all reputable Bible scholars agree on their identity and fulfillment. Daniel continued to describe what eventually would happen to this great image. The head of gold represented the Babylonian Empire from 625 to 539 B.C. This empire was replaced by the Medo-Persian Empire from 558 to 330 B.C., represented by the chest and arms of silver. The belly and thighs of bronze represented the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great from 333 to 31 B.C. The two legs of iron represent the Roman Empire from 31 B.C. to 476 A.D. And finally, the 10 toes on 2 feet of iron mixed with ceramic clay represent a future revival of the Roman Empire. These great empires all ascended to power and greatness, and they all fell to destruction, just as the Creator, the God of the Bible, predicted. The 7th chapter of Daniel also describes these same four kingdoms in Daniel's dream of the four beasts. We should note that God also taught King Nebuchadnezzar a severe lesson of humility. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from his throne to live like the beast of the field for 7 years. And what was the lesson this most powerful king had to learn? Turn to Daniel 4 and verse 17. That the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. Or as it states in the King James Version, the basest of men. Now, notice that the final worldly kingdoms represented by the great image Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream will all come to an end. The image represented four world-ruling empires and their extension to the end of the world or the end of the age. They will be replaced by what is called the fifth kingdom, the coming kingdom of God, Daniel 2 and verse 34. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And what is this stone? Daniel describes its meaning in chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yes, the kingdom of God will stand forever. That's the good news you can count on. That's the good news we strive to share with you here on Tomorrow's World. There are many, many hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled exactly as God predicted in the Bible. And there are dozens of Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah that were fulfilled in the New Testament. Jesus the Christ fulfilled these prophecies in detail. You can rely on Bible prophecy, and you can know what the future will be like. You need to understand the principles of prophecy and the great plan God is working out here below on earth for all humanity. To help you in your study, we'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. You'll be able to review the biblical references and study the examples of fulfilled prophecy we've discussed on today's program. Just call or write for your free audio tape entitled Fulfilled Prophecy. This audio tape will give you the opportunity to prove to yourself the genuineness, the veracity, and the predictability of Bible prophecy. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Fulfilled Prophecy.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope today's program was informative and inspiring to you. So many today neglect reading the Bible, and particularly neglect reading Bible prophecy. You need to be informed. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the exciting truths and prophecies of the Bible. So don't miss a single program. We hope you'll join us every week on Tomorrow's World, right here at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.